Welcome to Marooned at MacBytes Headquarters, day 218. What level are we in at the moment?
2.5.
I've lost track. Oh, my page says I've got a slim application error, Mike.
Oh.
Ooh. What's one of those?
In what?
Is it the player? Is that the... I think it's the player. It says go back. I'm in Vivaldi. I'll leave you with it. Anyway,
no,
who was first?
We've got an error here as well.
Oh, Mike's got an error as well. Right, let's see if everybody else has got an error. Now it doesn't say a slim error. Can anybody hear me? Let me know in the chat. Oh, well done, Jonathan. Hello, Jonathan, number one.
Right.
Hello, working. Kim.
Yes, it's working.
Oh, Jonathan is the king. Of course you are, Jonathan. Oh, dear. Oh, here's Simon. Simon, you'd be just as happy. Oh, for tomorrow there shall be dust and a broken hard drive. And some unfinished macaroons. Oh, no, we mustn't. No, don't talk about hard drives and dying. Not in the same breath. No. Although I did get a little missive from Amazon today telling me that they posted me a hard drive. Royal Mail. It'll be here a week on Tuesday. I thought, for crying out loud. But there you go. We 8 days to get one item to me. Probably from about 200 miles, about 2 miles up the road, not 200, about 2 miles up the road. Could pick it up myself faster. Ooh, French onion soup. Nice. Not had bread with soup for a long time. Not had soup for a long time, to be honest. But the weather has turned, so it might be just nice to have some of that. Mmm. Mike in a thong. Oh, is it a thong night? It could be. You never know. Mmm. CQ, CQ, Deb. Hello, Paul. Are things still improving down under? Let me know. And who else have we got? Oh, Jonathan's had a slim error as well. No idea what's going on there.
No, me neither.
Kim's fine. No errors. Kim's obviously in the best spot on the planet at the moment then. Royal Mail, good luck. Yes, I thought that. But there again, it was Amazon, wasn't it, that threw the monitors over the fence. So, anyway, if you can hear us, that's fantastic. If you can't, I have no idea what a slim error is. Website error has occurred. Sorry for the temporary inconvenience. I don't think it can be us, because if it's working anywhere, it's not us. Could be a routing issue. Do you want to have a look? What else is down, Mike? And then we can work out what's causing the problem.
No, because it was only on the player, wasn't it?
You can't mention thongs and things improving down under in the same breath. Oh, Simon, I can. And I can leave you with the image of that. Have you seen the photo of Mike in his thongs? Oh, he looks grand. Honestly, he does. So, what Carnos did today bring for anybody? Quite a quiet start to the week for me, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I had Carnos this afternoon.
Mike has had the most fabulous day. I am going to sit back and let him tell you all about it.
It wasn't a fabulous day.
I thought it was fabulous. As you waltzed in and told me what you'd done, I thought... That's genius.
Yeah, thong is a flip-flop, Paul.
Well, the Aussie one is a flip-flop.
Yes.
Yes, but thong has a totally different meaning in the UK.
It does.
String knickers.
Yes, G-strings.
A G-string. Right. Luckily, Mike has never been seen in a G-string.
Haven't I? I don't think I have, actually.
No, I don't think you have, actually. I might buy you one this year.
No, thanks. Like the chidge...
Mankini. Bought Ginger Mankini 2 years ago. I couldn't even give it to him in the afternoon when we were swapping presents because the grandchildren were there. And I think the youngest was only 3, wasn't
Granddad,
she?
Granddad, what's a Mankini?
So I had this present and it was like left in a bag. And Rach said, oh, there's one more here. And I went, no, that's for later. So when the grandkids have gone, I said, Chidge. This is the last present. Handed it over. Bright lime green it was. So he takes out the bag. He opens up the wrapping paper. He looks at it and he went, "So, when you're modelling..." Apparently, it saw the light of day once, didn't it?
Yeah.
And then they put it in the wardrobe.
Yeah, along with Ned's collar.
Along with Ned's dove collar. Yeah. Thing was, which he did admit, they were broken into. It was one night... Was it about June time?
Can't remember when it was.
It was hot anyway, and I think they had the window open. And they had the temerity, these burglars, to walk into their room. And they rifled through the drawers and the wardrobe, left the mankini behind. I mean, what kind of burglar leaves a mankini behind?
Oh. So, shall I tell my story?
You're still seeing day five on the banner. Let me have a look. I'm not seeing the banner full stop. But I am broadcasting...
I'm seeing day 216.
Well, that's bizarre, isn't it? Let's have a look. No, I'm broadcasting day 218, and it does say live.
Hmm.
Honestly, it says 218, so I have no idea what it's doing. But at least the live banner's there for when Tracy appears. I wonder if we're live or not. Anyway, you will all settle down, and you can explain what you did.
Was that a dog burp?
It was, and I'm not surprised. No. She came in interrupting my dinner, which was steak. Absolutely beautiful, Mike. Wanting food. You're not having any more, madam.
Settly dog. It was about 10 to 1, and I had two training courses this afternoon. I had one from 1 till 2, and I had one from 2:30 till 3:30. So I thought I'll log into our course booking system just to check how many people I've got booked. And there's about 20 booked on the first one, which was lookups. And the pivot tables for the features, which was the second one, was full. It was 50. And as trainers, we can actually specify how many people we want on each course. So I scheduled this course and I'd set a maximum of 50. I mean, never get full house anyway. So...
The fact you had a full house should have given something away.
Well, yeah, but I'm looking through the list of people who were booked on this pivot tables course, which was the second one, and something struck me. Most of them, apart from one, were Chinese, which isn't a problem, because I get a lot of Chinese people on my courses. But not usually at 2:30 in the afternoon our time, because it's like 10 o'clock at night their time. You might get the old one or two who want to attend the course that much that they will do it in their own time. So I'm looking through this list of names, and then something hit me and I swore under my breath. The S word. I'm thinking, oh God. If I scheduled this course and chosen Chinese as the language in our, booking system, and scrolls down the page, and yes, there it was. I'd put the language as Chinese. So all these Chinese people are booked on the course. Now, the thing is, a lot of them don't actually take any notice of the time anyway. So they'll just see that it says Chinese as the language and they'll book on it. And the other thing about the Chinese, and I'm not being disrespectful, I'm not being racist, but I'm just being genuine as it is a lot of them will book on our courses and then not turn up, because they've actually, what they're doing is they're booking on a course to kind of reserve their place, even though it's in totally the wrong time zone. So pretty much I was getting them back today for it.
Gave you a lot of admin though, didn't it?
Yeah, because what I had to do at 10 to 1 is I had to get the list of all the people who had actually booked on the course, but I didn't have their email addresses. So I had to copy this list of names from Excel, having exported them out the booking system, paste them into the BCC field in Outlook, click on check names to do a name resolution. But the problem is that a lot of Chinese people have the same name. I mean, there's only one Mike Thomas in the entire AstraZeneca, but there's like 20 of one particular person with a particular Chinese name. So what I had to do then was go into their record in the booking system, look at their email address, go back to Outlook and look through the list of email addresses to pick the right one, because I had to send them an email to say basically I'd cocked up. You know, I could have actually lied, and I could have actually said, due to unforeseen circumstances,
I've suddenly become unable to speak Chinese.
No, I could have said we've had to swap train at the last minute, and this course will be in English. And most of them don't mind, although they probably like it in their own language. You know, we've only had a Chinese trainer for a couple of years, so they are used to attending courses in English. So I literally managed to get the email sent out at 1:02, literally as I was logging in on Teams for my 1 o'clock course. Nobody replied and said, not a problem, Mike. And then I went into the booking. Oh, that was the other thing. We have actually got the same course running tomorrow morning, our time, at like 7 o'clock. So that's going to be afternoon in China, in Chinese. So I gave them a link. I said, if you want to book on the course tomorrow, you know, you can do. But a lot of them, I think what they'd done is they booked on this course. Then after they booked on this course, realised that it was at 10 o'clock at night their time. So they booked on the one tomorrow, but not cancelled their place on today's. So although it said 50, I would probably have only got about 10 anyway. But I still, at the end of the course, had to go through and tick off, because I did get four people turning up. And what I did is I set up a one slide, a PowerPoint, that said in big, bold, red letters, this course is in English, so that all those logging in would see it. And I said it a million times. I said, if you want to go, you don't have to stay.
Sayonara!
Yeah, I fancied an hour off. But I didn't get it because I got four delegates turning up. So I had to deliver it anyway.
Now, you see, Jonathan's come up with a genius idea. Couldn't you do live translated subtitles?
Yeah, because actually, PowerPoint does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that would have meant more admin, wouldn't it? And then if something had been off. And didn't something happen with the first course as well? What was the first course? Oh, yes. You had an extra delegate appear.
Did I?
Yep. A lady whose name starts with A.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm yakking away teaching my course, and I heard this noise, and I thought you were in here on the phone or something.
Well, do you know, I'm sorry, Mike, but if you ever thought of me being on the phone full stop, there'd be a crisis.
True. So I takes one headphone, one side off my headphones, and no, it's not you, it's Alexa. So she's yakking away. I don't know what she says. So I says to my delegates, I said, my Alexa's just started saying something. I said, I don't know what I said, but I've shut the door. I've got an Alexa on the landing. So this girl says, oh, you probably said it's when you're talking about X lookup and you said X. That sets her off.
Do you know that one on the landing? We've got two Alexas on the landing and a show in the office. You can have the one next to you in the office turned on, and it totally ignores you. But you say something and the one outside on the landing picks it up and starts rattling away with herself. So I'm not actually surprised it was the one on the landing. What is fascinating is the one in the office, in the studio, totally ignored you. So I think a couple of them have got a hearing defect.
No, these were my AZ courses, Paul. This was me training at work this afternoon, not my side hustle. Oh, we're on to steaks. Do you remember that discussion we had with Mark Bolton?
Oh, yeah, that was about lamb, wasn't it?
No, it was about steaks.
He was a chef anyway.
This guy, he was the president of one of the other circles, and we were sat with him and his wife at York, wasn't it?
I think so.
At York last year, and he was a chef. I think he still is a chef, but not at the golf club. And we got talking about steaks. And he said anything more than a rare is a waste of time.
I do like my food actually cooked, though, if you don't mind.
Medium rare is a waste.
No, anything cooked more
anything
than that.
But medium rare.
Anything but medium rare is a waste.
No. It's got to be well done for us, hasn't it?
Just cooked, because unfortunately, I think there are places that you can go where if you said medium rare, you would get medium rare. But over here, you can say like incinerated and it still comes out and it looks like it's still, you know, it's literally just left the freezer. So I always insist it's actually cooked. But that, that phases them.
So that was my afternoon.
So you had great fun. Anything more than blue do you really like, mate? I like it the way Mike does it. So however Mike does it, that's how I eat it. I wouldn't want to argue with the chef, would I, Mike?
No.
No, I have had it served at some places and you're thinking, is it dead yet? I don't think they do actually understand. I think Mark, being a chef, if you ate at his place, it would probably be absolutely beautiful. But there are other places, no, don't go near it.
That sounds like the chef, Johnny. I remember being at a restaurant in London with some friends and asked for their steak well done. And the waiter said, I'm sorry, the chef won't cook anything above a medium. And so he was anything above a rare. In fact, I think he was going out to the fields to kill it.
Simon, walk past the grill on the way to the plate. I'm happy. No, I do actually. I just like it the way you do it.
Oh.
Which is just as well. We're not leaving the house ever again, are we? Never, ever leaving the house again. And Lola likes it. So
she's
got the Lola seal of approval.
Yes, she licked my plate.
Yes, she did. I gave her dog treats, so she loves me. I did speak to somebody on the phone. Now, make a note of the date, because this is unusual. I spoke to your mother yesterday.
You did, didn't you?
Yeah, she rang and she's so funny. She left me a message. This was because we were still gardening. And she said, it's your mother-in-law. She's so funny with that. Because when I rang back, I said, hello. She said, hello. I said, it's Elaine. And you've got this vision of her sat there. Oh, yes, daughter-in-law. That's the one. Yeah, I actually spoke to somebody on the phone. Oh, this is unusual. Very unusual. You dated a chef once. Ooh. They only cooked very blue. So a chef in Sydney cooked only very blue. Someone complained once the chef attacked him with a meat cleaver. That sounds like something from the Muppet Show. What's the chef called?
Swedish.
The Swedish chef, that's right, from
Pretty
the Muppet
already.
Show. There's me thinking the Swedes were laid back. Mike surprised me since they're not laid back. Not at all. So that was our excitement today. Mike came in and told me about the Chinese fiasco on the basis I think he was hoping for an hour off.
I was.
It didn't happen.
I was.
That'll teach you. The other thing was, you know, you actually made work for yourself with that. Because if people book on the course and then don't turn up, Mike has to actually manually cancel them, don't you?
I have to go through and tick this box that says no show.
Which is not easy because you've got to go through however many times, in this case, 46.
Yeah.
He won't be making that mistake again. To be honest, I did say to you a while ago, because people were booking on the wrong languages, weren't they?
Yeah.
And I said, why not put a flag there? Because people tend to take more notice of the fact the colour changes.
True.
I think
that's too hard for the developers.
That doesn't surprise me. That takes me back to what I was saying before about that programme I've been watching.
Mm.
I somehow stumbled across, I was fascinated when I moved to London to university. I was fascinated in these tube stations that had long since closed. And if I took a different way home on the tube, you'd actually pass through tube stations that were closed, really eerie. So this video popped up and I thought, oh, that's that tube station near the one I used to use that's closed. And they took you on a tour of it. And that was fascinating. Loved it. So because I'd watched this video, they then start recommending, you know, 3000 train videos to me. But one of them was about how they built the Victoria line. And this was 1962 to 63. It was absolutely fascinating. And I said to Mike, that's the kind of history that I wish we'd done at school. Good night, Jonathan.
See you, Johnny.
Basically, this line... what's going on here? What's in
It's about meat cleavers.
No, there wasn't a meat cleaver
involved. I shouldn't have
it.
Read that whilst I was trying to merge two bottles of water together.
No, this documentary thing was fascinating, and it just shows you how things have changed in terms of how we approach work and everything. Like, it's too difficult to put a flag on a drop down. Right, okay. So this thing's explaining that they took a decision in the 50s to extend, well, actually add a new underground line in London, underneath or within the existing system, 10.5 miles. That's got to be a massive undertaking, given we already had a tube station. And I was fascinated as to how on earth do you add another tube station to this thing? Well, this documentary got going, and it was really early 60s, and the documentary was made in the early 60s, and you could tell this. But I was so fascinated by how on earth would you do that with the technology that they had then? And it got even more complicated. I haven't even finished the documentary yet, but it got even more complicated because they couldn't close the ground above it, which for safety purposes they would have needed to have closed for 3 years while they built it, because it was Oxford Circus. Now, if you've ever been to London, Oxford Circus is about as central as you can get, and it was the busiest junction in the UK. So they had to rebuild the underground station underneath it without closing it. And I thought, well, that's impossible. If that happened today, it'd be shut for 20 years, wouldn't it? Mm. I mean, we constantly used to see when we were out things on the motorway that would say roadworks here till, you know, say this was January, roadworks here till October. And I'd say to Mike, which year? That's really how bad it was. So this underground thing, absolutely fascinating. They decide that what they'll have to do is put like a fake road above the road that was already there in Oxford Circus. And they did it by drilling these holes that were 3 foot wide, filling them with concrete, and then using them as like the load-bearing base for a new road on top of Oxford Circus. 1962. And it was amazing thinking the tools and, you know, computers that they probably didn't even have back then. How on earth did they do that? And some of these holes that they were drilling were 1 inch away from electricity, from water, from sewage. You know, one slip and it's gone. And they then had to build this entire bridge. And the bridge, it wasn't a bridge as in like a bridge over the Thames. It was a bridge over the existing road. So in essence, they were raising the road by about 2 foot. And they were having ramps on from all four sides. They would not let them close Oxford Circus, not even for a week. They got a bank holiday weekend. They started work at 1:30 on Sunday, and it had to be finished for the traffic at 6 o'clock on the Tuesday morning. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, you couldn't do that now, never mind 1962. And when you looked at it, all the pieces had been already built for this thing. And they were dumped in Cavendish Square, and they were bringing them in. So they were as close as they could get them, and they were bringing them in. And it was like all through this assembly that was taking like 2.5 days, it was which piece isn't going to fit. There's going to be one piece that doesn't fit. All of these things were measured by hand. And the whole thing went together in 2 days. And the rest of the time was just them putting things up like traffic lights and stuff. It was amazing. And then with a straight face, Mike says to me, it's too hard for a developer to put a flag next to a country name. And I'm like, pardon? No, let me show you this documentary and let me show you what difficult looks like. Oh, hello, Tracy. Ooh, 800 words. Not seen that one. Mind you, you know me and TV. One of the actresses is from my all-time favourite show, McLeod's Daughters. I remember that. I don't think I ever saw it, but I definitely remember it. It will have been advertised here and I will have missed it. Maybe it'll be on repeat somewhere, then I'll get to see it. Architectural technicians and technical engineers knew how to draw within hundredths of an inch in those days. Absolutely. They would. You saw them. I cannot remember the name of it, but you know the thing that goes up on a tripod and they look through it. You saw a guy at one end with that and a guy with a pencil at the other, and they were sending like hand signals to each other to get this right, and he marked it with a pencil. And these things were, I think the biggest one was 35 foot long, and it was in a straight line to go between two pillars, and every one just fitted in. Literally, they put the thing in place, and he had like a bolt that was probably 3 inches thick, and he just dropped it in, and it just, the whole thing just went together like a Meccano set. It was unbelievable. I mean, we can't do anything here now without an absolute inquisition. We'd have had to have five inquiries, and we need this and we need that, and at the end of it, it won't work. And I think we're kind of at the point where we don't even expect it to work anymore, which is even worse, isn't it? The odd light. Yes, that sounds familiar. They did mention the term, but I was so fascinated, it totally passed me by. It was amazing. To watch it was absolutely amazing. So even though it's from 1962, 1963, I'm going to keep with it. It was actually quite a long documentary. It was about an hour 40 minutes, but absolutely fascinating. And the other thing I took from it was I would have loved history if that was the kind of history that we did. Instead of which, it was Roman baths, and I really couldn't give a toss.
We did that.
You did Roman baths?
I think so. And Jethro Tull's sea drill.
I remember doing that as well. And again, couldn't give a toss.
I just thought I was a rock group myself.
I remember thinking, are we ever going to get to, like, the First World War? And something that now, I'd like to learn from.
When I did history at A-level, which I failed, but that's beside the point, because I haven't turned out too bad and didn't want to be a historian. We did the First World War. I think we did Gladstone and Disraeli, which was like 18-something.
But yeah, but that was in A-level.
Yeah, and we were supposed to complete the syllabus up to the Second World War, and we didn't get that far.
That doesn't surprise me. That's another thing with schools that annoys me. I mean, can you imagine getting into the exam and there's questions on that? My mum always said to me, when she said, I think it was education that we weren't going to do. I ended up with a sociology course, don't ask, long story. And she said, well, you'd be good at the education bit. And I said, we're not doing the education bit. And she said, what do you mean you're not doing it? It's on the syllabus. And I said, I know it's on the syllabus, but he wants to talk about religion being the opiate of the masses. And she said, are you kidding? And no, mum. So she decided, you know, my mother, she grabbed the textbook and she worked through it and said, right, let's do it. She said, I don't want you to get into the exam and there'd be this question on education that's like right on point for you and not be able to do it because you've not covered that in the course. So she did it herself. That was my mother. So I would have loved that in history. That would have made history fascinating to me.
Tracy's getting a slim application error.
Oh, no. Mine's back. I'm okay, I'm back. And it's still saying day 216, which I have no idea why, because I've got it saying 218. Oh, no. Just try refreshing. I'll try refreshing and see what I get. Now what day you say? It's still saying 216. No idea why, I can assure you. In fact, let's do just that. What on earth are you? Why is stuff going haywire? This is my stuff, not the broadcast stuff. The broadcast stuff should be absolutely fine. I've enjoyed each episode. What are we talking about now?
Interesting.
Oh, how we used to live. Tracy used to love how we used to live.
Yes.
How many did you see, Tracy? Did you see quite a few of them? I'm going to take a screenshot of this.
I've just taken a screenshot.
What are you taking a screenshot of?
Slim error.
No, that's not what I'm taking a screenshot of. I'm proving the point. I am actually broadcasting that it is day 218. Or I would be, only I think Cloud App's gone funny. Or it's hiding from me. One or the other. No, it's hiding from me. You swine. Right, let's try that instead.
If you like how we used to live.
Brace yourself. Incoming link. Incoming link. Right, have we got the other link?
Yeah.
The direct link. That should be on the 2.0 page, Mike, so I can quickly get to it.
I'm going to get in.
Right, we've got a direct link, which may help. There you go. You put the other one in while I get that link. Is that the whole episode?
Yeah, it's the episode that Rob was in.
What about Tony?
I don't think he was in it.
The cat's whisker.
Yeah.
I used to love How We Used to Live. Fabulous show. So we must have been about five in this then.
Rob, something like that.
Yeah, this one. Is that him there? Is that him? On the left?
No, it's on the right.
On the right.
That's Rob.
Right, it's at two. You can actually take a thing at the point, can't you? So I'm copying the video URL and I'm putting it in. No, I don't want the video URL. I'm lying to you. At the current time, that's what we want. That's Mike's brother on the right. Also, as I move that on a bit, I could have sworn. But looking at it again, I don't think so. I thought that was Chris Eccleston. But maybe not. Right, how are we doing with the slim application error? Mine's fine. So it's working here. Oh no. Not good. That said 1925 and right. I thought that won't be Rob.
Well, player's no. Working, so let me bang that in the chat.
Right, put the direct link into the player.
Direct link to the player's in
right,
there.
That Azura link is a link to just the player. So if you open that in another window, that should solve that problem. I've no idea what's causing the slim application error.
Me neither.
Because I'm not seeing that now. I did see it, and I'm in Vivaldi like Paul is. Then it disappeared, and it's been all right since. But Tracy was okay then, she wasn't okay. So there's something going on somewhere.
I shall get on to
support. Oh, our favourite friends again.
Yes.
Are all of Mike's family actors? There you go, Mike.
Tony
was the first, wasn't he?
I act when I'm on the when I'm training. I mean, mum's a teacher, so that's like acting. So I guess sort of, yeah.
His dad certainly was. He was a professional.
My brother does bits and pieces.
I think he would have liked to be a career.
They're going to, unless it gets canned, if they go into level 3. They're doing a Halloween party or something.
There are no words.
He was saying when I spoke to him, and. He's going dressed as a woman.
Wouldn't be the first time.
No.
Didn't he do a review at Oxford? He was in the Oxford Review, yeah. I think. I vaguely remember the video being kicking around. I think he would have liked to have done it full time, but obviously, if you're not a Hollywood star in this country, you can probably barely live. I went to the Octagon Theatre. Would have been 2009. So fair enough, it was 11 years ago now, but they'd just been taken over. They'd just got a new director, and he was explaining how the finances of a production worked and how he wanted to put a play on that was Arthur Miller's All My Sons, which has quite a large cast, about 12 or 13, which meant that the next production had to be cut right in half. So he picked Henrik Ibsen's Ghosts, because there's only five in that. And to make it cheaper still, because obviously if you can imagine having the cast of 13 for All My Sons, and then another cast, even if it was only five, for Ghosts, there's an overlap. As soon as you start in the 3-week run, you have to be getting into rehearsals with the next cast. So what they do is they do a thing called a cast through. And what a cast through means is the cast of the second production are actually in the first production. They don't get paid any more for the 3 weeks of the overlap. So they are actually rehearsing one play whilst delivering another in the evening. And I'm sure he said it was a fixed rate for the actors. And I think it was about £270 a week, which isn't that much. when you consider, you know, you think of Hollywood money, don't you? So, and they have living out expenses as well. So half of that was being spent because they were away from home. They were actually in Bolton. So it was quite an eye-opener as to how little they actually get paid. And if they don't do other work, like voiceovers, is quite lucrative, or audiobooks, you couldn't live. You couldn't live on it. Simple as that.
SLIM is an application framework for PHP.
So there's something wrong with the PHP somewhere. We've not changed anything. So whatever happened wasn't
No,
us.
But I was also getting it on the login page to the back end for AzureCast.
Something somewhere's gone screwy on the internet today. That's a technical explanation. There you go. Hello, Anthony. Seems to work in Chrome. There you go. It's just everything else that's broken there. Ah, never mind. It's probably only a slim chance to get a slim application error. It's not an error message I have ever seen before, to be honest. Put the other link in just in case, the Azure link, which shouldn't rely on anything. That's just, that's actually their player. So I'm connected directly to that. So we shouldn't have any kind of error from that. Watch us have an error with that now. Just saying.
Well, it depends if there's any PHP. No, there can't be
there
any
can't
PHP.
Be. It's just an MP3,
it's
isn't
an
it?
It's MP3, yeah.
So there is no PHP involved in that page. Now, I think Mike's dad always wanted to be an actor, didn't he?
Yeah.
And
better than being a pharmacist.
Well, yeah, but he'd done a lot of acting, but his family wanted him to have a career to fall back on. So he was actually a pharmacist as well with his own business. Chemist shop for you to play with the lollies in. But then he decided to give all that up and go back to the stage. He had some lovely pictures, didn't he, of stuff he'd been in.
Mm.
It was great to see him. And there was one picture I remember where he was in his pharmacy outfit and he didn't look anything like as comfortable in that. But it was lovely. And he loved talking about that, didn't he? He went to sort her computer out and I'm left sat there with him. And we were discussing a drama that had been on the TV that he'd liked. It was a very, very British something? Yeah,
very, very British. Or what was it?
Scandal. Was it Scandal? It was all about the Jeremy Thorpe affair. Well, there are no words. It was...
Yeah, very British Scandal.
A very was British it? Scandal, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
It was grubby. You watched it and you needed to have a shower. It just made you really grubby.
Yeah, Jeremy Thorpe. I never saw it.
Oh, it was worth seeing, but... He'd really enjoyed it and he wanted to see it again.
A Cozier Browser. Not heard of that one.
Oh. That'll be something Spanish, probably. But at least we're back. We're back. Tracy's got us back. What was the other thing that he liked? The Crown. Which I must admit, I've never even seen one episode of. Because they've got Netflix and we haven't.
Yeah.
Laugh if it was, they didn't know they had Netflix. A friend came round and said, oh, look, you've got Netflix, which opened up a whole new world to them. Oh, it's not Spanish. Oh, no, never heard of it then. Did have one called Dolphin. I love the Dolphin browser. That's not like me with browsers. You know I love a good browser. I've got everything hosted in Vivaldi. I haven't had any other issues with it, so I don't know what the PHP problem is. Right, I'm going to have a look at that then. Oh, I was watching a video. I was in this session with this lady, and although she spoke perfect English, her setup was in French. French-Canadian, or Canadian-French, depending on how you look at it. And I'm like, okay, for Netra's window. And I'm working round the screen like that. Some of them were obvious, some of them less so. A search engine that plants trees. Oh, that's cool. Oh, you can add it, apparently. 111 million trees planted. That is very cool. I shall have a look at that. There you go. It says search engine there, though. Is there a browser you can download? I will have a look later. New browser for Elaine. That's me gone. Pull them off. Do you know, I actually got so excited when I saw Edge on Mac. It was really clean and nice. And then the issue with it was there's no sidebar. And I can't understand. I do have all those browsers on there. But the sidebar feature is just a killer feature. And I can't understand why it's not there by default in every browser. You have to add it into Firefox, which is a crashing mess at the moment. The Vivaldi one is just to die for. It's usually on the left. I move mine to the right. And I have everything running in there, including you can, well, in normal times, but you could do this with the MP3 thing. You can have something like audio playing in that sidebar, close the sidebar and it carries on playing, and then you don't have to waste a tab on it. Love that. Love that. Vivaldi's brilliant. Right, there we go. I shall go and have a look at that. You never have too many browsers. Oh, excellent. So Anthony had a client who was Swiss and the laptop had a German keyboard layout. Oh, no. That's even worse. That's why I was saying about keyboards, that if keyboards were glass with haptic feedback, you'd be shipping less in terms of you wouldn't need like two physical keyboards. You could just switch. The day will come, I'm telling you, the day will come.
I had that, Anthony. I was doing something last week, doing support for somebody in Sweden or somewhere, and doing it through Teams. And that meant that every time I pressed a certain key on my keyboard, it pressed a different key on her keyboard. Because I'd taken control of her machine through Teams.
You'd think that the Teams thing would translate that, knowing there were two different keyboards. Oh, that's scary. No, this was luckily me just trying to follow along. So as she's doing stuff, what was strange, and I don't know how this happened, because it was her computer. So it was her choice what language to have it in. And obviously, if French is her first language, and given her name, I would assume it was. I've got no problem with that. But what was weird was that all the content that was in Notion and Evernote and all of the other types of things, you know, even calendars, it was all in English. So the work that she typed in was in English, but everything surrounding it was in French. And I think that must be amazing to be able to, I guess, if you're that familiar with languages, it's not as amazing to you, but it is to me, that you're looking at two different languages. I'd be translating in my head. But I always wonder with somebody who is working continually in a language that is a second language to them, what language they think in. So do you constantly translate, or do you not need to? Because I would need to. Whenever I'm dabbling in French, trying to say, what was it I was trying to say to the French team? Thank you very much for breakfast and we'll see you next year. And I didn't do bad, but I did have to translate it in my head. Languages do not come easily to me. Triple languages all day for Tracy, that would drive me insane. I couldn't cope with it. I couldn't. It's not me. You don't translate, it becomes second nature. That's clearly where I've gone wrong, Tracy. It has never, ever been second nature. I often do wonder what would have happened if I'd stayed at the school I was at in first year at high school. Because I enjoyed French there. I was pretty good at it. But it was all spoken. We didn't write anything. The writing was going to come once we were confident speaking it. And I think that's a good way to teach it. But it obviously wasn't the way at the school that I ended up at. And they'd done all of the grammatical things first, but couldn't speak a word of it. And then they moved on to the speaking of it. I think if I'd stayed where I was, I would really have enjoyed it. But it totally put me off languages then. So when Kim was studying Spanish, you started dreaming in Spanish. Wow. No, every word needs to be translated in my head. I don't get that. Maybe I should have just immersed myself in it. But I guess I did for a week. I went to France for a week when I was 12, almost 13. And it was one of these like student things where we all went on a coach and we stayed at like, we stayed, the place is actually Paris Saint-Germain, somewhere out on the outskirts of Paris.
Well, United are playing tomorrow night.
Well, this place was on the outskirts of Paris. And we did the Eiffel Tower and we did Versailles and we did other kind of things. So that was the nearest I got to immersing myself. But the thing was, I think if you go on your own or you'll go with people who have the same idea, then you'll kind of do it. But I think if you go with school, you're all speaking English. It's not like they say, can you speak French for the week? So it wasn't as immersed as I would like to have been. Asking questions was okay. It was making sense of the answers that I found tricky, because in my head, what I heard was very fast. I found French speakers very quick. And the thing was, although you may have been absolutely fabulous at German or Spanish, if you were no good at French, you didn't even get a chance to speak one of the other languages. And yet all of the subjects that I took on aged 14, I was an A student at. It was the ones that you'd already done. And when you came in at second year, that I wasn't, because I, in essence, I'd missed a year. Oh, such sad times. And many times I've said to myself, you know, oh, you will conquer this French thing. And then I think that's not where your skill set lies. Stay with the numbers. Stay with the numbers and programming. That is where your skill set is. But every now and then it would be nice to be able to hold a conversation. But now, of course, we've got these translator things. So I would stand a much better chance of holding some kind of conversation, although there could be some very hilarious mistranslations involved. But I agree. I think if you go to a country, one thing that was recommended was putting like French or Spanish radio on. But I thought, how on earth does that work if you don't speak a word of the language? I mean, can you literally pick it up like a baby? 5 years after listening to it, you are fluent. I don't think that would work for me. I think I'm too logical. I want to know what that word means and that word and that word, which I know it's not the way to go. It's not. But I've just had to accept language is not me. Life could have been very different if school had been different, I think. But other than that, You did loads of languages, though, didn't you?
I did French and German.
Yeah, but you see, German was the one that you got to do if you were really, really good at French. And now they teach it at primary school, which must be fantastic. We didn't do a word of a foreign language at primary school. So it's nice to see that. But it always tends to be French first, followed by Spanish, followed by German. I actually probably know more words in Swedish, Norwegian and Danish because of all of the foreign TV that I watch. I do love their TV. There you go. Better to watch TV shows, especially the new. Oh, news. That's a good idea. Oh, and cartoons. Children's cartoons. No, what I did do. Now Tracy says, best way to learn is the way you learn. So speak first, write later. That's the new syllabus that this school I was at had. It was the first year they'd done this syllabus, and that's exactly what they were going to do. And all our lessons were based on scenarios. So we would learn words like we did the whole of Calais and Dieppe, I think. We had a map and we said, you know, that's the bank. And we would say all the words for all of the places, the bank, the butchers, the chemists, the hairdressers in French. But we didn't write it down. We learned to speak it. And then, right, so you're going to the hairdressers now. How do you ask for X? But obviously, when you get slung in at a totally different level, all of that was wasted, which is so unfortunate. But I do find that you pick up words and you get the context far better with TV. So I think the first programme I watched was The Killing. Has anybody seen The Killing? There was an American version, but forget that. It was shocking by comparison. But it was The Killing, which was Swedish and Danish, I think. Possibly with a bit of Norway thrown in. But even though they were switching between two languages, it was still understandable. The next one that came along was The Bridge. And that was fantastic. I absolutely loved that. And although you have got the subtitles in front of you, I did pick up a lot of words from it. I guess for me, listening to it and then reading it a lot of the words did stick. By the end of the fourth series, I could actually glance away and even understand what was going on. But I don't think I could have spoken it. I think it was just understanding it. The Killing does not sound like a show you'd watch. It was amazing. It was really, really good. It was all about this police officer. And she was getting married and she was leaving the country with her son. So it's her last day on the job. And she gets involved with this missing girl, this missing girl case. I think it was 10 parts. But it was just so good. It was a classy, classy drama. I think in the end they did three series of The Killing. The Bridge was similar in terms of it was a murder detective. But she had Asperger's and she was amazing. You just love this character because she was one way. Everything was like black or white. She'd go into work and she'd just take her top off and then put a new one on. And she was like, the others were like, can you go into the toilet and do that? The changing rooms. But she was just so literal. And the guy that they put her with was from another country. And he was so laid back by comparison. And they just played off each other really, really well. The third one was, I think this was from Belgium, and it was called Borgen. And it was all about the politics. And it was, I mean, I don't know anything about Belgium's politics, but I think an independent had won and you know, really unusual that she'd won. And you then started to learn about the deals that would need to be done in the background if they were going to keep going. So those three dramas, I think, there was three series of the first one. There was at least three series of Borgen. There was four series of The Bridge. So every year you'd get like the drama of the year on BBC Four, which is, it's a free-to-air channel, but it's the arts channel, really. So it only broadcasts for a few hours a day. I think it's 7 in the evening till probably about 2-3 in the morning. And on a Saturday, they would have something on that was one of those dramas. And they were amazing. Everybody was talking about them. Scandi Noir, we call them here. Scandi Noir. Sounds like House of Cards. Yeah, it was a bit like House of Cards, only she's been watching. She was a woman in charge. I can't remember now how she actually got in, what the thing was. But once she got in, she was like for the people. And it was a good series to watch. Iron Fist. Nope. Raised by monks as a warrior monk. There is one on now, isn't there, Simon? I'm sure there's one on BBC Four at the moment. Can't remember what on earth it's called. Let's have a look. It's always a Saturday night. So we'll move forward to Saturday. What date's Saturday?
24th, isn't it?
24th. Let's have a look. Well, they're going to make me out to be a liar now, aren't they? Oh, yes, there's a new series next week that's starting called DNA. And that's from Denmark. Luckily, a lot of the actual words in Danish are very, very similar to the Swedish words. So if they're talking about tack, which is thank you, I'm all right with that bit. That's the same a lot across multiple languages. But that one is about an investigator. Again, the character's called Larsen, which was the name of the family in The Bridge. Not The Bridge, The Killing. The Larsen family. So this one, he's lost his wife and gone. Looking forward to a few days alone with his daughter. Work demands attention. Oh, no, the child gets kidnapped. And then he ends up in Poland. That sounds like a traditional Saturday night fare. Of course, this week we've got to compete with Strictly, haven't we? Strictly is on. Strictly Come Dancing. 7:25. We've got a special on, though, haven't we? What's a special this year? This week?
Dire Straits.
Mean and Moody. But we were talking about one of the history things, weren't we? There is a new series on now called Bone Detectives. Oh, I am loving that, Tracy. Raised by Catholic schools to be a tech warrior princess. That would do. Loving that. You love Kung Fu. If they're great, they're great. I do remember the one with, was it Grasshopper? weapon of choice, the SSD. I've got SSD sat next to me. But the other one, 14 terabytes of glorious storage is in the hands of Royal Mail. I may never see this. And I pressed buy on mine first. Mike gets, now this was when it was supposed to be taking about 3 weeks to come. Mike then gets 3 days ahead of me a dispatch notice. Not that we've seen it yet. 3 days ahead of me. Just saying. But they're saying 8 days. So we'll count that. We'll do a countdown. Yes, 14 terabytes. The one they actually had the deal on was 12 terabytes. My biggest drive at the moment is 8. But I only really want it for backup. It would be nice to have near access to data for 14 terabytes just by plugging one drive in. So I thought might as well be rude not to, given the price. I think there was £90 off it in the Amazon Prime Day thing. Because I'm thinking years ago, I used to have to plug in, you know, if I wanted access to like 6 terabytes, I had to plug in 6 drives. So to get 14 in one, but the deal was on the 12 terabyte one. But then I clicked on the 14 and there was a deal on it. So I'm in the midst of calculating what's the price per terabyte. And it was cheaper for the 14. So I'm like, well, I get the 14 then. Kim's largest is 2. Well, what you need to think of, if it's only 2, you're spreading the risk or way more than I am. If I've got 14 terabytes of stuff on one of these drives, that's why there's 2 of them. The other one will be the twin of the first one. And it is not going to be data that I work with every day. It's going to be stuff of like, I finished that now, so I'll put it out of the way and put it on another drive. But there's 14 terabytes with those 2 drives. And I do believe the Seagate drives, they only used to go up to 8 terabytes. Then they had one with 10. And once I saw the one with 10, they kind of stuck at that for a bit. I'm predicting they're bringing out new drives and they'll do it in time for Black Friday. So I expect bigger drives from Seagate, but I expect them to be the back end of November. So we'll see how that and that go. Was that just Mike Kung Fu in the table? No, he's been very good, aren't you?
Am I?
It looks like he's putting together a snotogram support request.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
Yet again, we've got a problem.
Or strangle somebody.
Fair enough.
Or murder somebody.
How often do I check my archive drives to make sure they still work? I probably mount them all at least once a month, leave them going for maybe a day or so, see how everything is. Not really had one that's gone, just been in storage. They tend to go when they're active, to be honest. And yes, I have at times, one wasn't mine and one was mine. I had to put a drive in the freezer. Oh, that's hair raising. You basically need to cool it down so you can mount the thing for long enough to get the data off it. And one was somebody who had no backup. This drive was the only copy of the data that they'd got. So I ends up with this thing and it was... Oh, there must have been about 50 or 60 gigs worth of data, maybe even more. I put that on another drive that they had, but there was also some that I burnt to DVD for them, just so there was a backup of the backup, if you're with me. I couldn't mount this thing at all. So there were 2 issues with them. They had a broken drive and the laptop wouldn't turn on. So we managed to get the laptop back up and running. That one wasn't too bad, but the drive was not having it. It wasn't even having it sort of accessing it remotely in any kind of way or directly with cables, nothing. Wasn't having it. So I said, there's nothing else for it. It'll have to go in the freezer. Have to cool it down to such a point and then try and get it back up again. What a fiasco that was. It's like, well, we can't leave it in too long or it'll freeze. But we need to leave it in long enough and you need to put it in a bag that is hermetically sealed. So then I had to do the sucking out the air out of this bag. So it was all sealed. I think in the end it was about 30 to 35 minutes. And I said, no, I'm going to have to take it out. So he takes this drive out and then you're literally running up the stairs with it. All wrapped up. Keep it cool. Plugged it in just long enough to get the data off it. So I did. I got all of the data off the thing. Oh, Paddle payment. I loathe Paddle. You know I do. Does my 14 terabyte need its own power source? Yes, but it only needs the one. Whereas if I'd got like 7 times 2 terabytes, I'd need 7 power sockets. So, yeah, it's a standard power supply, just like if it was a 2 terabyte. Just needs the one. I know you've mentioned NAS before. And I know all of that is automatic, but then you need another NAS to back up the NAS. And to be honest, even in a NAS, how much data? What's the most you've got in your NAS in terms of storage? I might move that way, but it's more likely, to be honest, I'd move to the cloud and I would have separate, you know, spread the risk across multiple cloud platforms and do that. Just need really to sit down and think what data needs to have direct access with, you know, wherever I am, and what can afford to be colder storage, because I do have some stuff that, you know, I would access very infrequently on Amazon Glacier storage, and you need to give notice if you want access to that. So that's like really old stuff. Anyway, latest news from Manchester on our lockdown, they're still contemplating it. But in the meanwhile, they've been arguing so long, the infection rate's gone down, which moves the power away from Boris and towards Andy. But Boris has come out and said, we might have to put our foot down here. In the meanwhile, Wales, that is 50 miles away, they're going into a total lockdown of the entire country for 17 days, starting on Friday at 6 o'clock. Scotland are contemplating following suit. Northern Ireland are already there. That just leaves us. So we'll see how that goes. You need all your backups to be small. You can grab them in case of an earthquake. Yeah, you see, we've all got different situations, haven't we? We have had an earthquake here. I think we had 2, and there was some naughtiness went on with the fracking in Blackpool, which is only 50 miles away. So they were fracking for oil in Blackpool and the rest of us were getting earthquakes. Anyway, they pulled the plug on that, literally. But yeah, that's a good point. I'd also, those drives, the SanDisk Extremes, they don't need a power supply at all. They'll take the power from either an iPad or a laptop. So they're very good to sling into a bag, an emergency bag. So I have a 1 terabyte one of those and a 2 terabyte one. And I would highly recommend those. They don't seem to get overly warm. They don't seem to overly drain the power. I've used them for backups when we are away. So February, when we last left the house, I took those with us. And as soon as I'd done the recordings, the backups were made onto that because I was working on a laptop. You store your externals in a box that's fireproof. Oh, you are so organised, Kim. We contemplated a fireproof box, didn't we, for like house paperwork. Mm. And I got this one. It's not a box. It's a binder. But it's covered in the weirdest fabric to touch it. And it's totally fireproof. So it's very lightweight. But it's probably not as good as a box because that would be secure as well. We'll have to look into all of that. But at the moment, you know, not leaving the house. It's crazy. It is. It's crazy. You just sit here thinking, what will the news bring this week? And people themselves are divided. You know, there are married couples they've interviewed and one thinks they should go into lockdown and the other doesn't. So it's so divisive. It really is. Anyway, on that note, we won't be divided. We will be back tomorrow. Oh, we will. Hopefully, you never know, Royal Mail might cover themselves with glory and get the 8-day delivery here quickly. You never know, girl can dream. Even though it'll probably be a week tomorrow, as predicted by Royal Mail themselves. They don't even know where it is yet. It says, we've got your package, and that's it. I thought, well, telling me where it is might be a good idea, but they've not. But for the moment, it's good night from me.
And it's good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.